Phoenix FM.
Now is a busy show today, and I'm delighted to be joined back on the phone. We had a little bit of a break last week as I was speaking to Jonathan Stevenson from the council, but today I'm speaking to the leader of the council, and it is Chris Hossack. So very good afternoon, Chris.
Oh, good afternoon, Michelle. I nearly said good morning because I normally talk to you in the morning, but yeah, of course it's this afternoon this week. So yeah,
it's got a little bit confused. So we've got quite a few topics to cover. We've got a few questions in as well. So if we can start off just talking about the business grants, the COVID-19 grants, they've been going phenomenally. When I spoke to Jonathan last week, he said there was a total of 440 businesses that have been helped with £6 million so far. So what's the current update of that? People been really impressed, by the way. Loads of feedback, people saying how impressed they are with the council, how quickly this has been turned around as well.
Well, that's really appreciated, and I've been getting the same feedback as well. But just to sort of illustrate how well they are doing, you know, the numbers you quoted as it stood last week, to update you as it stands pretty much today, is 8.5 million paid out to 621 Brentwood-based businesses.
Wow.
So, you know, in the space of last week, we've sort of done another, you know, 25% again on the number last week. It's grown by a quarter.
Yeah.
So so that's really good progress. Mm. 8.5 million, 621 businesses. And as you say, the business community is really, really impressed. And I don't want to brag, but our team are doing a great job. And I pick up feedback that, in contrast to some other authorities, well, I won't name them, but we seem to be really ahead of the curve on this.
Mm.
It's all thanks to a really good team in our economic development team and our Rebs and Bens team. So
yeah,
they're really churning out the work at a heck of a rate, really.
And also, as Jonathan said, that you don't have to go through a third party or pay anybody to apply. If you go to the Brentwood website, yeah, for Brentwood Council, it's all, yeah, there, and you can fill it in yourself.
Yeah, or email business@brentwood.gov.uk. Yeah, it's a free, we're administrating it free. The government have allocated the money to us. It's our responsibility to get that money into the businesses, into the bank accounts of the businesses that need that money right now.
Yeah.
There's still a few queries, and I was just dealing with one of those a moment ago, and we'll deal with those as well.
Mm.
But I think most people have got their head around the threshold and who qualifies for what, at what rate threshold, etc.
Now, food, emergency food, that's another thing that's been going on since the beginning of this.
It's a multi-dimensional sort of thing, really, because we talked last week or the week before about the whole shielding piece, where the NHS have categorised people into category A, would be high dependency people that we really need to keep a close eye on, and they will receive food parcels, and then you've got these other categories of people working down from the top. So there's a central approach where food is coming out effectively from, not central government, but on that central government scheme. We've got charities like Man & Meals working out of our town hall in Brentwood who are fulfilling that. You've got other volunteer groups like Mutual Aid who are helping, Brentwood Mutual Aid who are helping out, Brentwood Resident Action Group who are helping do shopping. You've also got the shops doing the delivery much more than they ever were before. And of course, we've got Food Bank in the town doing what they always do. You know, their workload's gone up, of course, you anticipate. But they've been doing this for 9 years, and they're really coming into their own in this period. And of course, we've got our own food stockpile. I haven't seen it for a week or more. But we did have a good quantity of food at the town hall as well to, yeah, back up any food distribution that was needed. So it's going well. I think we had a conversation, and as you know, we talk with the volunteer group every week on a conference call. I just think we need to make sure that we're spreading the load correctly, because we've got the resources, and we've got the food in resource. It's just making sure that we are spreading the resource in terms of distributing that food, and that's something we just need to keep an eye on. But on the whole, I would suggest it's going well. You know, I even had one message this morning where, to show how close to it people are, an older lady in part of Brentwood had had a food parcel delivered, and she didn't want it, but for whatever reason, that's fine. So somebody's going to go around and collect that and maybe take that somewhere else for somebody who would benefit from it.
Yeah.
So we're really, I think, very much on top of the food situation as we stand today, anyway. So Brentwood Open is a Facebook group, effectively, and it does what it says on the tin. I know the shop fronts are closed, but Brentwood businesses, lots of them are still open. They've just had to adapt the way in which they're open.
Yeah.
And as you say, you know, really shifting across into delivery mode. Some businesses are still open for collection, but that's all got to be managed very, very carefully. And maybe we'll talk about that in a moment. It's set up about 2 weeks ago. Last time I checked, it had about 3,200 members of the group. I think that's probably grown again. And we've got some really good success stories of businesses that have, you know, generated business off the back of being part of this Brentwood Open Facebook group. So it's just an innovative way of keeping Brentwood open, keeping Brentwood doing business, keeping Brentwood people buying goods from local businesses. Yeah. And yeah, it seems to be working very well. And as I say, some good anecdotes of businesses that have really had a good benefit from the Brentwood Open group.
Now, Astrid has said, can you ask Chris how he copes combining a full-time job of being the leader of the council and how he thinks the Brentwood economy, shops and businesses will be affected the longer the lockdown goes on for?
The first question, it wouldn't be right for me to say I cope easily, because it's not easy doing two things, but I suppose it probably boils down to what is one's perspective as to what a working week involves. As far as I'm concerned, there's 24 hours in a day, and the Saturdays and Sundays, you know, it's not easy, but I have to do what I need to do. I'm paid to do a day job, and I do that, and I've also got a huge responsibility towards Brentwood Council, and not the council, but in turn to the community of Brentwood.
Yeah.
You know, I do my best to keep a lid on it all. Sometimes I'll have to wait a day or two for me to phone them back, and that's the way it goes. I think some people don't realise that, you know, being a councillor is, unless you're retired, is, you know, it's a full-time job, but it's not a full-time job, if you know what I mean. I cope. I don't know how I cope, to be honest. I have three Weetabix every day, crack on with it, and go to bed about midnight most nights.
Yeah, she's just saying, actually, most people, I don't think, realise that you've got a job as well.
It's a real challenge, you know, and it's interesting in Brentwood. I think the profile of councillors is important. It's important that it's mixed. It's important that we've got male and female. It's important that we've got young and old. It's important that we've got different ethnicities and all sorts of different, you know, a mix of the 37 members we've got at the council. And, you know, in order to be young, we're fortunate, if you like, that we've got a number of younger people, probably not the majority, but a number of younger people, but all of those people are in full-time work.
Yeah.
You know, the mayor, when we get round to establishing a mayor this year, will also works in the NHS at Queen's Hospital, full-time job. A lot of people don't realise that. You know, I've got colleagues that work in the city. I've got colleagues that work for big local Essex-based companies. So it's, you know, it's not just me that finds it difficult. I suppose I have a particular role at the council that is very burdensome compared to maybe some of my colleagues. So maybe I find it a little bit more difficult than others, but, you know, it's a full-time job, but it doesn't pay full-time job money.
Yeah.
So you have to get on with it. If you choose to do it, you have to make it work as best you can.
Yeah.
And that's what I've done. I've done it for 16 years. People think I'm mad. Some people applaud it. I don't know what I think of myself, but I get on and do it, and I enjoy it.
The asterisk, the second part was the Brentwood economy for shops and businesses. How they're going to be affected the longer the lockdown goes on for.
Yeah. Well, listen, I don't want to make predictions, because I can't read the future, but I think logic tells me, and what we've got to watch, and that's the whole point about these grants, you know, if these businesses close, as they've done many of them 3-4 weeks ago now, they've no custom if they've not adapted, and we talked about Brentwood Open about how people have adapted, but, you know, you've only got to miss your rent once or twice, or, you know, you're paying for all that stock that goes off on the shelves, or, you know, all that beer sitting in the cellar that's going off. You know, if you didn't have the support, that would be a cost that the business would need to bear.
Yeah.
And the issue would be, is having gone through all of that cost and that loss for a month or two or 3 months, the longer it goes on, we know the worse it would be, is whether when we come out of lockdown, you'd be in a position to even open the doors. And that's the whole point of the grants, is to try and buy businesses that time. You know, whether they've got a 50, a 10 grand, a 25 grand grant, whatever it is to buy you time to compensate that you can just take 2 months out, whatever it happens to be, 3 months out, fill the gap with the grant, and then hopefully you're still around in a position to open the doors again when we come out the other side of this pandemic crisis. I can't predict what it'll be like. I'm optimistic. You know, we know, for example, in Brentwood, prior to this situation, 10% of all of the retail units in Brentwood are empty. It was the same in Ingatestone, and actually in Shenfield all of the retail units were occupied. I'd like to think when we go back to business as usual, those doors can all open up again. It may not be the case. And, you know, I think there'll be a... I've talked about this before, and we talk with the business groups every week about... We know where we are. We know it's difficult. We've handed out the grants. We've administrated the grants. We need to be talking about a recovery plan. I think there'll be lots of pent-up demand. It's not just about high streets. You know, car dealers haven't opened the doors for a month. What's going to happen to those businesses? So maybe there'll be a pent-up demand. I'm sure when we get a bit of freedom, people will want to go out and have a drink, and people will want to go and eat something, or people will want to go and buy that kitchen that they put off because they couldn't go and visit the showroom. I'm sure there's some demand going to be pent up, and I expect there will be a recovery and maybe even a surging recovery. And I'd like to hope there will be.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just my thoughts on it, Michelle. I can't answer Astrid's questions fully. I have concern, but I also tint it with a bit of optimism that there'll be a quick resurgence and people will start spending money again. You know, but again, look at America, 20 million people unemployed. They're not going to spend money until they get jobs.
Yeah.
So it's a difficult one, really difficult one to answer, really. But let's try and be optimistic and think beyond the pandemic and how we get back to life as it was before, so to speak.
James has said, when are the bottles being picked up? Need them gone now more than ever.
It was important we kept our core waste collection going. That's the food, the black bag and the mixed recyclable, which we've done throughout the period. We reintroduced garden waste this week. In fact, in Pilgrim's Hatch, my green waste was collected. Glass bottles, we're not there yet. I can't announce when we're going to do it, but we do know that, you know, that people are backlogging bottles. The intention is to get it back online as soon as we can. You know, we've still got depleted resources because of some people have fallen ill. We haven't got full attendance at our with our refuse collectors, so we're having to adapt. There's nothing I can do about that. I think keeping four out of the five services going is great. If we can ask people, if it's possible, hang on to your bottles for another couple of weeks, we'll see if we can get that service restored. I know I've got just my bottle boxes full, but I'm keeping, you know, bottles in other boxes for when it comes back online, and hopefully we won't lose too much of the glass that could be recycled. You know, the intention is absolutely to get back to a full service as soon as we possibly can.
Question came in when we were actually talking, so I didn't get to ask you on air, but it was regarding the gas servicing.
That's it. So we've got around 2,500 council properties in Brentwood. So Brentwood Council is the landlord effectively for those 2,500 properties. Axis are our maintenance contractor. We appointed them last year, and they look after all of the condition of the properties, and, you know, they've been settling in, shall we say, over the period and getting up to that. Now, of course, as a landlord, you have a legal obligation to make sure that certain things are in functional and working order. And of course, primarily to those is your gas compliance. You know, we've got things that we need to be compliant on, and gas is important.
Yeah.
We do know, and you hear these horror stories every once so often, fortunately not too often. But if things aren't maintained correctly and carbon monoxide becomes a problem in the house, it's a silent killer.
Yeah.
So as a landlord, we've still got that obligation to make sure that we inspect and test the gas supply and any gas appliances in our properties. So we have to do that. I know the query arose last week, and I remember the lady that raised it, and I spoke to her last week or the week before now. Because, you know, the balance of that is, well, hang on, we've got a pandemic on, people are meant to be social distancing, etc. So I said to her on the phone, we've got to strike the balance between protecting you guys from a social distancing point of view and protecting you guys from a gas compliance point of view. And at the end of the day, we need to carry on doing that because we've got a legal obligation. I've had that clarified to do so. But if you're not comfortable and somebody from Axis turns up, you should get notification before. But if you don't, and you don't want somebody to come into your house, then there's no obligation. But we would need to you know, make sure that we note that that appliance wasn't tested or the gas supply wasn't inspected.
Yeah.
And we'd have to revisit that because we've got an obligation to do so. So we're not going to force our way in, but we do need to carry on that service because we've got a duty as a landlord to do so.
What about tips?
Yeah, so had an interesting call with all the Essex Council leaders sort of dialing together every other week with Essex County Council. And as we know, the Essex County Council run the civic amenity sites on the tips. They're still closed. There is some pressure, if you like, coming from the districts to Essex to say, come on, how long is this going to be going on for? You know, because there is a byproduct of closing tips, and it's unpleasant, and I know we discussed it before when we talked about fly tip and everything else. So Essex recognise that there's some pressure to get them reopened, and they're going to come up with a plan to do so, maybe in the next week. Not open it next week, but they're coming up with the plan over the coming weeks. When they'll reopen, I can't say. That's for them to call. But of course, it's, again, it's that whole thing. We know that people want to get rid of their waste, but I remember before the shutdown happened or the lockdown happened, people were queuing all the way up Croxley Green Road to offload their garbage, and social distancing is out the window. You've got the tip is heaving and everything else. So whenever they reopen, they're going to have to manage, I use the word again, a surge in people wanting to dispose of waste. Because if you don't manage it, the whole social distancing piece is just going to go flying out the window, and, you know, that's the difficulty of it. So we as Brentwood, are talking with Essex, and other districts are talking with Essex about what's the plan when you open, and how are we going to manage that when you open, and what will be needed to make sure that we can get rid of the waste safely, but also try and meet the requirements for social distancing. So it's work in progress, but as I speak to you now, those tips are still closed.
We've got the lockdown for another 3 weeks. Has anything come out from local government yet about the plan to start reopening, how it's going to work?
Our main plan is to conform with central government policy, okay? So, yes, it was yesterday, I think they said the lockdown's going to continue for another 3 weeks. I know there was some talk, I was watching the news late last night, and there was some talk, a little bit of criticism really about, it doesn't seem, you've said it's locked for 3 weeks, but you haven't really got a plan about how we're going to come out of it, when we're going to come out of it. I think the issue is, we talked about certain things coming out the other side of certain things, like, you know, when retail starts to reopen, when the tips reopen. I think there'll be, what we've got to manage, really, for me, is a surge. But also, within that framework of social distancing, because I don't think it's going to go away at all for a long period of time, for months. So it's like slowly trickling back, you know, the services that we provide, the shops reopening, people commuting, all of this other stuff that we took for granted, where you saw crowds of people around the place. It's managing that and getting back up to speed without having an absolute surge of activity that just could undo, you know, everything that we've frankly sacrificed, not only for the last 4 weeks, but, you know, are expected to do so for the next 3 weeks. So it does build pressure in the system. It builds pressure about, I haven't bought this, I haven't been to work, I want to get back out of the house, I want to get rid of my rubbish. All of that stuff is being pent up. We just, A, primarily we need to sit on that for another 3 weeks, with respect to staying at home, protecting the NHS and saving lives, but B, we need to, you're quite right, collectively, government, local government, communities have a plan about how we slowly build back up to the world as it was before COVID-19. It's governments in every part of the world that are having to deal with this. This is the thing about this. It's amazing to think that what we're talking about in Brentwood is a challenge for towns in Italy, in America, and all sorts of places. The overriding message is, you know, the government, based on medical advice, scientific data, have said, look, we still need to keep in this lockdown position for another 3 weeks. And the appeal is really that we adhere to that, because if we start to break loose ahead of that, we're going against not only government advice, but the government advice is based on scientific advice. And if we break loose ahead of what they're recommending, there's a real chance that we could just lose all of the good ground that we've gained. And we could see a resurgence. You know, I haven't looked at the statistics today, the horrific statistics of how many people are dying each day. You know, pushing 1,000, I think it dropped a little bit. But what we don't want to do is come out of this early, undo all the good work, but more importantly, start to see the death rate, frankly, go up again, because the contagion rate has gone up. And so we need to hold firm, and people have done a fantastic job so far. They really have. I've worked from home for over 2 weeks now. I went to the town hall last night, first time in about 2.5 weeks, because we did the clap for the NHS outside the town hall last night, which was fantastic. And that's the first time I've been to the town hall. But, you know, Brentwood's as I drove through, it still seems to be, on the whole, a much quieter place than it typically is. So I think people should be applauded for adhering to it. We went through the bank holiday weekend, and, you know, people really stuck to that despite the fantastic weather. So people need to be applauded, but more so than that, they need to just try and stick through it for the next 3 weeks, because we don't want to undo the good work that's been done.
Claire has said, can you tell Chris how much we all appreciate everything his council staff are doing in these difficult times? So it's a big thank you from Claire and lots of other people in Brentwood to all of the team who work really hard at Brentwood Council to make things happen during this time.
You know, I really appreciate that, and there's lots of that feedback, and I'm going to say this, because you think, oh, we'd say that anyway, but actually it's true, because I think Brentwood has really stood out from the crowd in terms of what we've done. And the feedback we often get is comparison to us and other districts.
Yeah.
And I think we've really been on the front foot. You know, I think 4 weeks ago, Michelle, right at the beginning of this, we got that leaflet printed, produced, and with the help of volunteers across Brentwood, we got over 30,000 of those leaflets pretty much for every door before we even hit shutdown, advising people what to do. Other councils still haven't done it. They've got no plans to do it. You know, we've done a guidebook that's been distributed, a full document of what to do, how to do it, who to contact, who's involved. That was distributed this week to all the volunteers. And then, again, another fantastic document that has all been put together and distributed to those that need to know. I don't think any other districts have done it. We've talked about the success of our business rate distribution, 8.5 million out the door so far into businesses' bank accounts. And, you know, other things that we did, we put a food bank in the town hall. We've got volunteer groups working out of the town hall. We're coordinating with businesses every week. We're coordinating with the volunteer groups on conference calls every week. You know, keeping 4 out of 5 waste collection services going. Enormously proud of what Brentwood's done. That's not to put anybody else down, but I think we've done an absolutely fantastic job.
Yeah.
We're really ahead of the curve, and I hope we... I just want to say that, not to brag, but to, if anyone's from the council listening, is to say that I'm really proud of the effort you've put in. You are really exceptional in what you've achieved, and I could name people, but the danger of doing that is I'll forget somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about our council houses, 2,500 tenants that, you know, we're having to look after. We've got vulnerable people in there.
Yeah.
All of this unseen work that's done, not just collecting the bins and you know, all the plaudits for getting the business rates done, all of that's great, but actually there are other people that are doing a hell of a lot of work that is unseen as well, and their workload has gone through the roof. You know, let's not forget that people who are doing this are human as well. Some people themselves have got ill. Some people themselves are working for the council who've got family who've got ill. You know, they're working from home. Some of these, we've got, you know, quite a lot of young girls in the council who are mums, and they're working from home with the kids, and you can imagine the stress that brings. But they're cracking on, and I'd have to take my hat off to them as much as I'd take my hat off to people in the NHS, as much as I take my hat off to people who are working on the tills in the food markets and that sort of stuff, the frontline retail staff.
Yeah.
You know, some really exceptional work going on, but I'm really proud of what Brentwood staff have done.